I recently made a new friend, and we got to talking, had breakfast together, and he told me that he was a cyclist. So as you know, if you are around New Albany this time of year, right, the cycling, the cyclers, the bicycle rider tight pants people are everywhere. They're like a swarm of bees. You just when you see them, you want to run the other direction. I mean, the tight pants are fine. I mean, I got some tight pants, you know. It's fine. Wear your tight pants. Everybody's talking about my tight pants, but no, SNL, never mind. Everybody's talking about my tight pants. Just YouTube it. You'll thank me later. But my friend, Houston, we got to talking, and I was trying to get connected with him over the past couple weeks, and he wasn't getting back to me. So I was like, just texting him, and something had happened. And then about a week and a half ago, I got a text. He said, "Hey, man, sorry I haven't gotten back to you. I had a heart attack." And I was like, what? His name is Houston. I'm like, Houston, we, you know, have a problem. Like, I mean, what do you say to that? Like, is this a text? Like, this is not good. And I didn't know what to say. I'm like, okay, man. He's like, I'll get back to you in a little bit. And just, I'm trying to recover. Can't really talk. I'm just like, wow. I'm like telling all these people, like, my buddy had a heart attack. He just told me. And so last week I got to talk to him. And he told me his whole story. And what he said, Joe, I've been riding. And my arm would start to hurt when I'm riding my bike. My chest would start to hurt and my arm would start to hurt. And he said, I just thought that it had to do with my cycling, that I was pushing my body. You know, I've been doing this now for over a year and really pushing it. And I just thought that, you know, that's what was going on. And he said, but then, you know, after a couple weeks of that, I was in the airport and I just sat down to wait to get on a plane. And the same feeling started happening. And he said, you know what, I got a call. So he had a friend who was actually a pediatric cardiologist. He called him on the phone. He said, this is what's going on with me. And the doctor said, you need to get into the doctor's office like right now, like pronto. So in less than 24 hours, he was in the doctor's office and they put him on the machine to do the EKG. And they also took a blood sample because apparently now, like, there's an enzyme that gets released when your body is and your heart is struggling that they can actually tell that you have heart conditions just through the blood, which I thought was amazing. But they had the EKG on him. They got the blood test. Within 10 minutes, a bunch of doctors came in. They're like, you are having a heart attack right now. And he couldn't even feel it. And so they just said, we need to do two stents. And the doctor sat down with him and they said, listen, man, they said, you have survived what is called the widowmaker. He's like, what are you talking about? He said, one of your arteries is 99% blocked in your heart. And he said, and people generally never feel it because it's so small, but you survived it. And the way that you did is because you pushed your body so much cycling, it gave you an indicator and it told you that something was wrong. Most people never do that and then they just don't wake up one day. They never actually have strong feelings, but their heart gets clogged and then it's over. And he was like, wow. So I'm on the phone with him and he's like, man, so I'm just glad I'm alive and I'm just glad that like I made it. And I'm like, man, I don't know how to say this without it sounding obvious. Like, I am so glad you're still with us, that they caught this and that, you know, we're having this conversation right now, because he said on the phone, he said, Joel, he said, cycling saved my life. He said, it literally saved my life. If I didn't cycle every day and push my body, I would have never felt it, and I would have never had any indicator that something was wrong. And so I just thought that was an amazing story, and I'm so glad, and now he's doing fine, and he feels a lot better. But I thought it was an amazing story because it's true, isn't it, that when something's going wrong on the outside, a lot of times that means something's going wrong on the inside. When something in your world is going wrong, for him, when his arm was hurting and his hand was hurting and his chest was hurting, that meant something deep inside was not right. And in our world, there's times when there's something going wrong, and you feel this, don't you, in relationships. Maybe you have a relationship that just is not quite tracking the way that it has in the past. And you start to go, there's something out here that's wrong, and you might try to fix what's going on out there, but then you find out when you really dig into it that a big part of what's happening out there is because there's something wrong in here, something wrong in your heart. Maybe there's like a financial crisis, And you think, man, I just got to order this, and I got to save this, and I got to do this, and I got to sell this. And you're trying to solve all these other things. But really, when it comes down to it, financial crisis often has to do with something that's going on in your heart. You have a heart crisis. You know, maybe you have an attitude problem. And you just, like, have an attitude. And, like, the people around you are like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, I'm fine. But if your mom was there, she'd say, hey, baby, snap out of it. You got an attitude problem. You know, like, something's just not. And then you start to kind of investigate. And after a little while, it's like, this relationship, these circumstances, my job, my attitude, it's not quite functioning well. And then you go, what's going on in me? What's going on in me? And I believe that this is true, right? I believe that when something is going wrong in your world, something could be going wrong in your heart. That sometimes the problems and the conditions of our heart are the lens that we look at the world through, and then we see it through this tainted, tinted world, and we can't quite understand what's wrong, but really there's this problem deep inside. Maybe it's pride, some type of arrogance. Maybe it's some type of bitterness. Maybe it's some type of jealousy. Maybe you're just jealous. Maybe it's just you're always surrounded by and you want that other thing. Maybe it's some type of lust or craving that is controlling you, but it's all really deep down inside, and that's where it comes from. And you see, what has to happen in order for us as 514 Church, and David mentioned that we're going to lead and we're gonna build a building. What has to happen for us is everybody in the room that says at 514 Church and everybody that's at home watching, everybody has to go on a journey, not outward, but inside. And you have to say, okay, if there's some tension in my world, I've got to take a deep look inside. What is going on with me? What's going on in my heart? And when you go down that path, God starts to show you what's going on with you. And he starts to clean you and cleanse you and change you from the inside out. And the expression of us building a building and leading thousands of people, thousands of families into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ is going to start first and foremost with us leading ourselves on a journey inside, and believing that as God reveals to us what's going on with us, that that power and that amazing perspective that only God can give will be exactly what the people who don't love Jesus right now need. And one day, they will experience the power of God the way that we are experiencing the power of God, the way that it is cleansing us and changing us from the inside out. In Psalm 51, you see an amazing king, the most amazing king in all of Israel's history. And he's got some external, he's got some problems in his world. He has his family falling apart. He has his army falling apart. He's being chased down. He's being wanted. And in all of it, in this amazing king, you find out that King David had some heart problems. And those heart problems manifested themselves into his world. And David, although he is called a man after God's own heart, which means that his heart, broken as it is, still craved to follow God with 100% intentionality, we find that David was a murderer. That means that in his heart there was hatred. We find that David was an adulterer. That means that in his heart there was lust and there was jealousy. And all this ickiness in his heart expressed itself in his world. Sometimes when there's something wrong in your world, it could mean there's something wrong in your heart. And so what David did is counterintuitive to any person that is struggling, that is anything wrong in your world, you would go and try to fix it. You might try to have the conversation. You might try to sell this, or you might try to move your world around. You might try to fix everything out there. But what David does is something profound. He understands that the problems out there are coming from in here. And he looks in the mirror first. And he asks God to do something to him first, and it's ultimately humble, because he comes before the Lord and he says, God, I'm not going to come to you and just say, fix all this. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to say, fix me. Fix me. Work on me. Work in my heart. And in Psalm 51, he utters this prayer to God that as I was growing up in the church, we used to sing this song. And some of you will know it when you see it, but it's an amazing prayer that reflects David's desire to be changed from the inside out. And he says this, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Create in me a pure heart. Fix what's really going on in me. I'm not going to shirk responsibility off on you, God, to fix my world. No, I want you to fix me in here. And then my life will change, because from the heart flows the path, the thinking, the words of life that you believe in. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. He asked God to change him and renew him, his heart, his spirit. Every single person in this room is a leader. You know that? Do you know that you're a leader? Do you know that you're leading people somewhere? You may lead just one other person. You may lead two other people. You may lead a whole team. You may lead a whole store. You may lead your family. Everybody in here is a leader. And ultimately, when you follow Jesus Christ, he tells every single person to go and bring people into a growing relationship with him. That means that you're all supposed to be leaders. You're all called to be leaders. Just the way that you live your life is a calling card. It's a reflection. It's a, hey, I say I follow Jesus, and people are going, well, let me see how they do it. For us to lead this community, we have to start inside. We have to lead ourselves on the inside. We have to ask God to clean us out, to change us, to fix our intentions, to fix our motivations, to purify us, to give us something new and to give us something fresh. And when that happens, what will happen is you will understand the importance, and I will understand the importance of the Word of God, the power of God to create in us a clean heart, and its ability to do that to the people that haven't experienced God yet. Do you know that the words in the Scripture say about itself that the Word of God is powerful, that it has the ability to change people, that first of all, it's supposed to change you, and it's supposed to change me, and then it's supposed to go out to people, and it will change them. It says this in Romans. It says, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. If people are going to be changed like we are going to be changed, then they have to be exposed to God's Word. They have to be exposed to God's truth. You need to understand, at 514 Church, I believe that I'm doing my job when I stand up here and I go, guys, this is what's happening in my life. Maybe this is what's happening in your life. Let's see what God has to say about that. And then when I bring all of us, you need to understand, when I bring all of us to the Scriptures, which are the words of God, which are the truth spoken from the Creator of heaven and earth, when I bring all of us to just read this, I feel that I've been put in the most powerful position I could be in. Because if you and me all take a minute to just let the Word of God consume us, it's going to change us. And no matter how well we write a song, no matter how well I speak a message, no matter how well this whole day comes together, nothing has more power than this. And as we pray, we need to pray that more people get exposed to this. This is it. Do you understand? The scriptures say, how will they hear without a preacher? You know what that's about? It's about the message. It's not about the preacher. It's the preacher. Somebody say it. Somebody tell them. Somebody lead them. Somebody show them. This is you. This is me. It's our job. And the first stop is to go inside and say, God, show me what's going on in me. And then I want you to show people what's going on in them and have them change. The Bible says about itself that it's a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror. And that those that follow God faithfully walk up to the Word of God, they look into it, and it changes them. The Bible says that the Word of God is a sword. And it talks about a sword like a Ginsu knife. That it has the ability to cut away the pieces of life or of a vegetable or whatever it is that you don't need and show you what's really important. It has the ability to chop right to the core of the issue. You need that. I need that. They need that. We are going to pray that God cleans us and that God, through His Word, does the same for the thousands of people that haven't experienced the life change that can only come from the Word of God. And so, what we are going to do as a church for this season of We Pray is we are going to read the scriptures together in a way that we never have before. For the entire month of May, we are all going to read through the book of Proverbs. So what we're going to do is you're going to read the entire chapter associated with the day that you're in. So on May 17th, you're going to read Proverbs 17. On May 30th, you're going to read Proverbs 30. And we are going to make this uber easy. Like uber easy. And when I say uber easy, I mean uber easy. And what I mean by that is I mean it's going to be really easy, like intensely profoundly easy to do, but we're also going to make it come at you the way that Uber does, like the car service. It's going to be that simple. So here's what I want everyone to do so that we can all, every single day during the month of May, we pray and say, Proverbs, this is sweet. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I just kept going down the May thing. I'm sorry. Here's what you're going to do. I want everyone to pull out your phone right now. Pull it out. Pull out your phone. And what you're going to do is you're going to enter in a new phone number into your text field. You're going to text the word daily. You're going to text the word daily, D-A-I-L-Y. That's the word you're going to text to 614-500-4057. And what's going to happen is it's going to send you a link back. Now, this is a new system. Some of you are going to get like 20 different texts back because it's not working quite right. But in all those texts, there's going to be a link. When you click on that, it's going to take you to something you fill out. And then every single day, you can tell this system when to kick you the chapter that you're supposed to read that day. All right, so you fill it out. You literally, I think, just fill out a password. And then right away or within a little bit, and you might not get the hyperlink right away, but within some time in the next couple hours, you're going to get it. And then you're going to put in a password, and it's going to say, when do you want to receive your daily reminder to read? And if it all works right, then you are going to get kicked today a passage from the scriptures, Proverbs 1 through 3, so that you can catch up, because today is May 3rd. So what you need to do is you need to read Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. You have a little bit of homework. You're going to read Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 today to get caught up. And then tomorrow, depending on what time you put in your phone, you are going to get a text that says, now, May the 4th be with you. And also with you, Proverbs. So, I want everyone to do this. This is so cool. And what this is going to do is this is going to get everyone in our church, and even if you don't call this place your home, do this with us. We are, it's equal opportunity reading the Bible. Everybody, come on. Like, come on in and just read the Bible and let it affect you. And then you know what? You have to catch up, right? So read Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 today. Do it as a family. You know, or just do it whenever you want to just read, catch up, and let these things hit you, and let these things affect you the way that only the Word of God can. And then next week, We have Mother's Day, and Carmen Smith, Ministries Director here, she's going to be speaking on Mother's Day. And then the week after that, we're going to end the month of May with a three-week series about the book of Proverbs called Up, Up, Down, Down, Left, Right, BA, Select, Start. So I'm excited about that. And I want everyone, if you've just coming in or you haven't got one, to make sure that you get one of these wristbands. They are in the hallways, in the buckets. Before you leave today, just seek one out. We want to make sure everybody has one of these We Pray bands so that you can be reminded that we're in a season right now of prayer. We're in a season of asking God to create in us a clean heart and a season of getting the Word of God to the hundreds of families, the thousands of people that are going to be a part of 514 Church. So I just want to take a minute. I want to pray for you guys, and then I'm going to lead you in communion today. God, I just thank you so much that we get to come together, that we get to pray that you do something in our hearts, that we get to pray that you do something in our lives, that we get to come to you in humility and say, you know what, the stuff that's going on out there, I'm going to change my assumptions, God. I'm going to assume that maybe some of that could be me. Some of that could be my problem. Some of that could be my issue. Some of that could be my attitude. Some of that could be my sin. I just want you to wipe all that out. I just want you to take all that out of my life. I just want you to create in me a clean heart. You created my heart. You created me. You can wipe that out. I need you to do that for me today. And God, as we pray for this community, for the hundreds, the thousands of people in Columbus that just don't go to church, that just don't have a relationship with Jesus, that just don't understand how wonderful that can be, how necessary that is. I pray, God, that as the Word of God affects us, that we would see the Word of God affect hundreds, thousands. And God, that the ministry of the Word of God would be the thing that really grows our church. People be changed by it. People be moved by it as we are moved by it. We are here today to praise you, God. You're amazing. You're creator. You're powerful. You are humble. You forgive us. We thank you. In Jesus' name.